proven impenitence, so that seeing they do not see and not perceive, and hearing they do not hear and not understand, lest they should turn, and their sins be forgiven them. Mark 4, verse 12. So that seeing they do not see, so that. People have marveled about these words, and even more, have been offended by them. These words sound so harsh. Who can bear to hear them? Let us begin by leaving these words in their context. One can only repeat them in the realm of divine holiness and prophetic seal. Isaiah perceived the words about people that are seeing blind and hearing deaf with his own thoughts when God's holiness and glory were revealed to him in a vision. See Isaiah 6 and compare John 12. Thus, as often as these words are quoted later in Scripture, they are always connected to the vision of Isaiah. See Matthew 13, verse 14 and 15, Luke 8, verse 10, John 12, verse 40, and Acts 28, verse 26 and 27. From this, it is clearly evident that one can only do justice to the contents of this testimony when they are left in their context. For only thus can one have peace with these thoughts. When heaven was opened before Isaiah's face, he saw God in his shining majesty. Wherever God is, sovereignty is as well, and everything has been kept there in the style of predestination and foreknowledge. There also the prophetic word was sent to Israel, not in the weakness of man, who in vain tries to apply the word to distort what seems contradictory to him, but in the strength of the Eternal One, who sends the word with majesty, so that the hidden thoughts may be revealed to those to whom it comes, so that whatever is in it may come out of it. When Isaiah began to prophesy, everyone needed to choose sides. Wandering along a wrong path is a mistake when there is no road sign. But it becomes sin when the road sign is pressed upon the pedestrian, so that he knows the way. Whoever is found past the road sign on the wrong path is considered to be not willing. He is not ignorant of the way. The prayer of the ignorant has eternally been denied him. Thus the road sign reveals wickedness. The man who placed the road sign there knows that. He knew that in advance. He even realized in advance what the result would be. He placed that road sign there so that those who do not want to see will still first have seen it. When an ignorant man strays, he is a blind one who does not see. But when the seeing man strays, he will seeing not see. Seeing not see. Hearing not hear, observing and not understand. Where these cases are found in the soul of opponents, judgment will be just. Exactly by the bringing to light of their hidden unwillingness, which without the road sign would always have remained hidden, the judge has prepared the way to come to the sentence, which justifies him before every eye. If that road sign had not been placed on the crossways of life, those people could have claimed ignorance and said, "We went astray and are tired. Please bring us back and heal us." Then, after a life of hidden unwillingness, they would attempt to use a lie to avert the sentence by their hypocritical appeal to ignorance. That is what the judge wanted to prevent. Was he now without mercy? Is it a crime to show someone the right way? Everyone knows better. To show the way is a favor, but it has disastrous consequences for the unwilling. That he is unwilling was not caused by his judge, by his God, but by himself. But that he remains unwilling is indeed what God has done. That is not of himself. Far be it from God to do wickedness, and from the Almighty to commit iniquity. God does not want sin, but he does want the truth concerning sin. For this reason there is that road sign. Because of this there is the word. For this reason Isaiah was sent. They must all be checked by that prophetic word, all to whom it comes. Thus, these words of Jesus can only be understood when he recalls the word of God to Isaiah. Jesus spoke in parables. He made use of riddles in which he presented his doctrines. Do not say now that this is exactly the reverse of being a road sign. Do not say that for this reason, these riddles, these difficult to understand parables, are the cause of the dwelling in darkness of even one soul. For in the revealing of the hidden thoughts of the heart, it is sometimes possible to have a greater result by riddle-like proverbs than by the plain sentence of thus it is. When Jesus squarely says into your face, thus it is, you will be offended by him. Then you can still say, this is a hard saying. The speaker confronted me in such a blunt way for which I was not prepared. You would still be able to excuse your unwillingness to hear. But now Jesus also cut off this possibility of the falsely covering up of oneself by speaking in parables and riddle-like proverbs. Then you will truly have to appear the way you really are. If you are then willing to hear, you will still not understand all of it right away. Even the disciples often still had to ask, explain this parable to us. Then your question will reveal you as you are. But if you do not want to hear, if you in any way reject the speaker in advance, if you already in advance approach him with unwillingness, then he forces you by parables to reveal yourself as you are. Several things can happen then. You will, for example, be able to explain the parable in such a way to display the speaker in an unfavorable light. You will then take up a thought from the parable which you cannot prove with certainty to have been the thought of the speaker. But you claim that this uncertain interpretation is the real one, and say triumphantly to the people that he who speaks thus is no prophet but a heretic. Then your enmity has not been caused, but is revealed by that riddle-like proverb. We will continue now with another example. Perhaps you have maintained all the days of your life, I seek the truth. I have searched and searched again, but cannot find it. I, poor wretch that I am. You could easily say this as long as nothing was placed deliberately before you, with the command to research and analyze it. For was it not indeed your own hobby? But now, Christ comes to you and lays before you a word that is so very strange. It is too remarkable to simply shove away as being unimportant. And yet it is so strange that you cannot penetrate immediately into the meaning of it. It is no clear-cut case, you say. Come on now, you who are called to research matters. Come on, you who are thirsting for knowledge. Come on, you who love to puzzle and dissect matters, who are so filled with self-pity because of your fruitless searches. Begin now at once to solve this riddle. You have work to do again, and you should be glad about it. But do you see? You do not even begin with it. You throw this word behind your back. Or you free yourself of the obligation with the too easy expression, thus it is. But if that is the case, this response has proven that all of your assertions of taking life seriously and dealing honestly were but a pretense, a hypocritical attitude to cover up the mentality of your fatness of soul and to accuse God of your depraved existence. Thus many more examples could be given. But every time again they prove that not God, nor Christ, nor the prophecy are the fault of impenitence, for they only reveal the plain existence of sin. That is the intention of the Father of spirits who sent his word. God does not want your sin, but if you want to sin, he will force you to remove your mask, so that no mouth will ever dare to say that God was obliged to heal the patient who had not wanted life, but death. This is a powerful sermon for all the hearers of the word. It forces one to self-revelation. One has to choose sides wherever the word is, and the choice must appear as such. And the preachers? Let them preach the truth. Then they can be at ease. Whatever they preach, it will always be a revealing. That is what Isaiah's clear prophecy did, Isaiah 6. That is also what a riddle formulation of Jesus did, Matthew 13, Luke 8, Mark 4. That is what the miraculous sign did, John 12, verse 40. And that is what Paul's exegetical discourses did, which were filled with Bible texts, Acts 28, verse 26 and 27. Prophecy is always the light that not just shines outwardly, but penetrates also into the inmost being. And it is so far removed from the truth to say that Jesus was a cult preacher who counted on, indeed even directed, his preaching in such a way that people would proceed in their impenitence. It is so far removed from it that even he himself marveled at their unbelief. Others are amazed about faith and find it very normal that you are a sinner, worthy of damnation. But Jesus marveled at their unbelief, and for this reason he never wanted the lie, but he wants it unmasked, so that they, seeing, do not see.